Pay off your holiday bills with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and earn $14.50 per hour to start, plus a $200 sign-on bonus and up to $1,200 in additional bonuses over the holiday season. Be a part of an industry-leading organization that believes in promoting from within. Enjoy an active job with big-time growth opportunities. Become a warehouse worker at UPS. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/worldport. That's upsjobs.com/worldport.
Katie George here for Coil Automotive in Clarksville. Coil's Black Friday sales event is going on now. Save thousands on over 400 new Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs in stock and in one convenient location. Plus, on Friday, November 27th, you will have the chance to buy a 2015 Chevy Impala for $5. Yes, $5. Head over to coildeals.com for all the details and find your next car, truck, or SUV today. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckian is buying.
Come on!
Must register for a chance to purchase Impala.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We did get a shout out. They're listening down in ATL as well.
Hey, appreciate that, man. I love that city, dude.
We'll be there to hang out with you when we're ready to tap.
Ole Miss.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, when we're ready to tap Ole Miss.
I love Atlanta, man.
What's the best part of being 6-1, Steve?
The six. They've all been fun. truthfully, kind of what the texter says here, YouTube sound, somebody said.
They're quick on the trigger today.
Yeah.
If they want it. If the sound goes down for, like, wait at least 10 seconds, y'all, because I have to mute. So Jack Harlow didn't sue me.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Sorry.
6-1. The best thing of 6-1 to me is Malik Williams and Charles Mindlin
are missing.
They are missing. And you're 6-1. And by all accounts, it's starting to – I'm not reporting this. I'm just saying it's just – I'm starting to sound like we might see Charles Saturday. I'm not ready to move on yet, totally.
At all.
But, yeah, like today, you know, maybe tomorrow or something, we can do something.
Well, since you don't care about this season anymore, Steve, people were waiting through the break to hear something, a little nugget, before we get into – Or should I wait?
No, it's a nugget. You need to drop that.
So, people, what if I told you there were two friends who were dogs, just friend-dog basketball players, and they were sitting in a living room together, and all the world is asking, y'all still sure y'all want to go to Louisville? And they're saying, stop asking me questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
These two friends are, like, ready to get Cardinals tattooed on them easily, right? Mm-hmm. These two friends were being pressured at every turn. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
To even consider other schools. There's two young pit bulls that decided to have a hangout day, a game watch party, so to speak.
Yeah.
Bobby Pettifer and L. Ellis. L. Ellis posted a video of him doing a reverse between the legs. What do we call that? Jackknife backwards dunk?
Yeah.
360 through the legs. He's on his way here, y'all. And he's a vicious little guard.
And he's bringing Bobby with him.
And I'm saying little guard.
So L.L.'s 6'3".
What I'm saying. 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, big dude.
Yeah, he's on his way here, y'all.
Yeah.
And he watched us bully Kentucky.
Yeah. And so they watched it together.
Yes, that's the point.
In the same house.
Yeah. So just keep that in the back of your mind. There's two dudes that are going to be running ones and twos. And of course, I'm not putting them in over anybody. I'm not doing, you know, any kind of conversation about where they're going to be in the hierarchy. I'm telling you, though, there's two guys that are dogs, and they can't wait to get on this campus.
They might not be the dog of the class.
There's one other dog that's playing better.
Mike James.
Right.
Might be the dog of the class, yeah.
So, Steve.
Roosevelt's out. He's injured, or he might throw him in there.
Okay, so, Steve.
Vanderheiden is we're happy to have you.
Let's take our time.
You can come, too.
We just played better than we thought. Two surprises, maybe.
Eric, you can come along.
Just work hard.
Yeah, work hard, play well, you know, heady, crafty.
Okay, so Steve.
Yep.
Where do you want to start with, like, the game? Okay, the phone lines are open because I want, this is what I was going to do. And you can say it's a good idea. I can ask Brian what he thought about it. Brian, instead of giving grades, like, right off the bat, right? We all agree that rivalries have to have a different mind state, right? You can be a good player, but there has to be a different level of toughness. Absolutely. And ownership. Coaches don't usually win the rivalry game during the game. I mean, they can make a move here and there, you know what I'm saying? Or you can have a guy like Coach Cal who's never, like, switched everything, and then Coach Mack says, yeah, we saw they were switching, then we made some adjustments in the second half, and it didn't hurt us anymore. But most of the time,
yeah,
coaches really don't decide that real who you can see which team just ain't gonna lose tonight, right? Let's do a toughness meter. Let's, like, start with the toughest guy out on the court, the most rivalry ready player on the team. Who's your pick for number one? Like, we're gonna kind of go start off at the most ready for the rivalry.
We can do the best players. We're not just, like, picking on some random player who's just a tough guy.
Okay,
because, like, you know, like,
I want to say who brought it. I mean,
Carleague Jones brought it. Like, it's
okay. Put it this way, I don't want to make this what you did in the game.
Because, the reason I'm asking is because, like, I would say Carleague Jones number one. Just he brought it. You know, he wasn't going to lose. He had that mentality. Mm-hmm. I would put David Johnson up there. Just being a local product, understanding the rivalry.
Let's leave it to Carleague. Let's leave it. That's a perfect call.
But I had one more. Okay, go ahead.
Carleague, is he number one for you? Who's rivalry ready?
Probably. I think a guy like Quinn is, it would be close. Because I think a guy like Quinn, man, that just embraces that. And he's not afraid to get beat. See, that's what, to me, that's something that makes somebody. It's like, yeah, I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of starting this trash talking here. I'm not afraid of telling you, like I'm all in on this psychology, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna ride it till the end. See, some people are like, well, there's two different types. Well, I don't want to talk trash. Let me see how they play first.
Yeah.
And then there's another that's like, okay, well, now they're playing well. Well, now I don't want to talk trash because they may start playing harder.
Right.
You know, and it was like that game was back and forth. Right. I mean, that game really was kind of back and forth. And Quinn just brings that. Like, Carleague is ready because Carleague stays consistent. Like, here's the thing. David Johnson started taking that game over.
See, I was going to go David.
Okay, yeah, no, I think David's a great answer. I think David's a great answer. And that's the beauty of our team, and that's why we won the game, mm-hmm. and why I think you'll see him start winning more going forward, because I think Mac gets those
types
of guys.
There's multiple guys.
But to Carleague, just to stick there for a second, David Johnson starts taking that game over. Carleague didn't care. In the last 3 minutes, he was like, yeah, well, I'm going to win. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so he may not be Mr. Trash Talker constantly. I'm sure he talks a little bit trash. Mm-hmm. But he's just on the court. I mean, because by all accounts, it's like, dude, just keep getting the ball to David. David's taking over here. But Carleague is like, no, I know I can finish this game. So I'm going to finish this game. Look, I'm not afraid with the ball in my hand and people going, the whole crowd who's tightening up their four, three, two. Yeah, no, I'm going to pull up and free throw line. I'm going to hit the shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm going to get to the bucket. Look, I'm going to get this ball. I'm going to get this rebound at 6'1". I'm going to go grab this rebound.
No, he said it in a post-game press conference. He's like, I'm built for this.
Yeah.
He's like, I want people to know that I'm built for the end of the game. Like,
yeah.
It's going to work. I just say David, man, because.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
I think those are the top three. I will say that. I think those are the top three.
Quinn, David, and Carleague.
And Carleague. And I would tier it a little below that.
Yeah, like with David, to me, there's a lot of pressure on him not to screw this up.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like he had no pressure on him.
Malik would be there too.
Which, right.
Yeah.
Which, and yeah, I'm just talking about rivalry specific.
Sure.
Yesterday, who was rivalry ready to not lose? And again, I say David because he didn't look timid at any point during the game.
Not once.
He turned it over. He chased his guy down. He attacked. He rebounded. and he was ready to physically. But actually, number four, I'm curious about. But we'll get there. David Johnson again. To me, Quinn doesn't have the pressure to perform.
I agree.
David's the Louisville guy.
I agree.
We've been talking about David needing to step up. Coach Mack hates David Johnson's guts. He doesn't really hate his guts, but I was so happy to hear Coach Mack say, I just got to deal with some of his screw-ups, you know, because I'm asking him to be an aggressive playmaking point guard. You know what I'm saying? I got to lighten up. But, yeah, I just thought David, with the pressure he had, he took the fight to them instead of letting Carleague soften everybody up, and then I do my thing. He looked like he
– Well, and to your credit, or to your point, Quinn pinpointed Isaiah Jackson. Like, Quinn targeted him. Mm. It was like, nah, I'm coming after you. Like, you know what I mean? It was the charge. And like I said, Jackson's my guy. Jackson's the one. Every couple years, they have a guy where I'm like, I'd take him right now. I'd take him right now on my team. Like, in a heartbeat. And would celebrate it if I could get Jackson. Like, I just love his game. I love the way he looks. If you don't take him in the top 20, I think you're stupid. Like, yeah. Just stupid in the NBA. So
and he's going to end up being like defensive player of the year.
The time where he ripped that ball away from Sam, went down, threw it to Devin Askew, went up, crammed it. He misses that one, goes up.
Every NBA team needs that.
He looks the part. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks like the best. If I was picking all the players out there, I'd take him.
Right.
Like, so, but here's the thing. I say all that not to just do a love fest for him, mm-hmm. but I'm like, now I got Quinn. He's not European, but I'm just saying, like, he's got that European model look. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks kind of
strong jaw,
like, strong jawed, sexy from a
great white high. Yeah.
You know, like, he's like, you know, but he's the guy. Like, Quinn is like, you look at him and you're just like, I want to punch him right in the face.
Yeah,
yeah, like, and he picks Isaiah Jackson. Yeah, that's my guy. I'm coming after him. I love that. I love that mentality. But I agree with you that he doesn't have to be the – like, Quinn hits that three, and everybody's like, yeah, Quinn's the man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you don't have to – if
David hits that three-pointer.
David can't go shopping. You know what I'm saying? David has five turnovers and 6 points, and we lose. Dude, David's in the mall, and people are like, you know, David's like,
What are you doing out here?
Yeah, like, somebody's like, oh, Carleague, it's on me. Yeah, Dave, that'd be $450. Like, it's just one of those.
No meals cost $450 anymore, Steve.
No, I was talking about coffee.
Carleague.
I was like, yeah.
That's horrible.
But yeah, okay. Yeah, so
I say David, you say Carleague.
I said Quinn, and Brian said Carleague. Mm-hmm. I think that those three, to me, are the top tier.
Okay, so.
Again, I'm not counting Malik and Menland.
Okay. So it's, yeah, okay. So that's, I think we all kind of are in, it's really close on those.
Very three. Much.
Four. Who's number four?
It's an easy one for me. Yeah, it's an easy one for me. At Davis. I thought DeAndre Davis.
Yeah, that was my next one that I was going to do as well.
Yeah. I thought
he just has that mentality as a player. Man, like, he's a dog.
He brought it. I don't care what anybody said. That kid brought it. And I was hurting for him because his jumper's been off. Mm-hmm. And he is a freshman. And he's going through freshman.
And being relied on as a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. So his jumper, you know, has not been on. Not just against Kentucky, really since the MTE. He's not been hitting jumps or three-pointers, should I say. But, man, he gets the ball in on the fast break. He knows what to do with it. Split my man, go up, score. Yep. He goes in. He gets the ball the one time. He goes into Boston, mm-hmm. invites all that contact, goes up and scores. On defense, he's consistently right up in his man. He's working through everything. You see him anytime somebody scores. One time we got an and one, and he turns and looks at his guy. And was just like, ah!
You're right.
Like
he did it.
Yeah. Steps out of bounds. That was a mistake, but he made a play going to the basket. Mark Ennis pointed out on Twitter, he goes up the one time. He just rips the ball from BJ Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes up and Jackson blocks it.
Yeah.
Like, but it's still just, man, it's like that mentality is like, dude, he that moment didn't bother him at all. I just think he missed shots.
Yep.
Only the moment bothered him at all.
I got a different answer.
That's fair. I'm okay with it.
Who do you think it is?
Jalen?
J.J. Trainer.
Okay, J.J. Trainer. Fair enough.
I think J.J. Trainer, for him being the smallest guy, physically, the smallest guy, when he came in the game, he had a look on his face. He when I watched him fight against his guy, he looked so much stronger than he's ever looked. Right? So it looked like to me that Coach Mack convinced him that he's got to be stronger.
Yeah.
And he came out there carrying some rocks in his pocket. Like Mack just told him, you weigh 230 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think he's convinced that he was that heavy. Listen, man, him coming in, like I said, again, Jalen Withers has been dealing with Malik and Enoch, you know, for a year.
And we'll get to Jalen because I have to talk about Jalen. But yeah, you're right.
J.J. Trainer's attitude, Steve, like he was the one that took the elbow to the face too, right? He took the Olivier Saar elbow to the jaw.
No, that was
Jalen.
It was Jalen.
Okay, that's fine. But yeah, I remember Jalen fouling real hard. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he tried to bully him under the paint, and Jalen just, like I said, he got pushed and he ended up fouling. But just the attitude he had was like, you're not gonna get away with bullying me. You know what I'm saying? Like, not today. You know? Like I saw some good plays that normally they're supposed to score on Jalen at that play. And he had an attitude that wasn't scared of McDonald's.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. He played 11 minutes, but man, he was in when he played.
And again, like I said, I'm not talking about who was the best players and who was the guy. I'm just saying who had rivalry attitude. Because leading up to the game, you know, I posted the Nate Johnson, Jamal McGlure, you know, issue, and it's like I wanted to kind of rank which guys would actually step forward in a situation like that.
I like just to kind of clean the palate here. Before I get into Jalen, actually Jalen and Sam, I want to have a conversation about those two. Josh Nickleberry, I like what he did too. I thought he come in. I thought he pulled. He hit that three. He wasn't afraid.
Confidence.
Yeah, it's like again, he got one. We go on that run, and I totally disagree with Dick Vitale on this one. I totally disagreed. We're on this run. We come down, one pass. Josh catches it on the wing. I think it was we were up five.
Yeah,
maybe.
He just came in.
He had just came in. Look, he catches it on the wing, wide open, and pulls, and he misses. And the announcers, I think Shulman too, kind of said, "Oh, that was way too quick. He shouldn't have took that." And they were kind of going. And I'm like,
they said, "Yeah, I heard him say." They said two possessions and two times he shot the ball, and he, you know,
yeah. But I'm like, man.
It was there.
I'm okay with it. I think Josh is probably the most pure shooter.
And Max said it. You got to come in. You got to shoot the ball. In position.
He plays so tough. Go back and watch Josh play on defense. When you go back and rewatch this game throughout this week, he plays so tough on defense that I'm like, dude, you're open right there. You take that shot.
Yeah, you really actually earned that. I got two on the line. Frank, thanks for joining us on 939. Fire away.
Oh, wow, gentlemen. I mean, you guys are providing some great analysis. So, but you know what? I want to say a couple of things, and I'm going to hang up and listen. You know, the win, it was an ugly win, but it was a win. And I really wasn't going to do anything or say anything until after the game. I had my Louisville alumni hat on, and, you know, I stopped at the light, and I happened to look over, and it was a UK fan right next to me in the other lane. You know, I kind of looked up and I smiled. He told me I was number one, you know. And matter of fact, he gave me two number ones. And so being the gentleman that I am, I kindly just threw the L's up and pulled off and was laughing or whatever. And again, you know, I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. But after that, I'm like, yeah, they're a little salty right now, but, you know.
Frank, no, listen, I do appreciate the call. It's funny, Frank, to back up your story. Steve is riding his car, and he's smiling, and Steve is like, people are probably thinking I'm crazy. I'm just in my car laughing and smiling. I said, no, everybody who's on the road right now is on the way to work smiling because that morning commute is only filled with Louisville fans.
That is true.
Your Kentucky guy who's been running that mouth,
He ain't going to work today.
I heard Drew this morning. I was up at 7, and I was listening when they started the show, and he said he was making a joke, but parents said, I'm glad to be in here. And he's like, oh, man, it's 4-day weekend. Nobody's glad. I'm like, no, I don't know. Not today. I was like, boy, these Louisville fans, they were going back to the office today. Like, let me get Honey, where are you going? I'm going to work.
You never wear that. Yeah. It's to work.
Yeah, I'm headed to work right now. I'm going to be there early when the doors open because today is that day. Today's the day, man. Look, I've got of 364 days or 63 days now.
That's a great point.
Like, too. Let's go.
Like,
because I know I ain't going to see you on the tournament. Like this year, I'm extremely confident we're not going to be in the same bracket.
I need the longest season in the history of seasons this season.
Oh, I know.
Because, yeah, I'm going to enjoy the Tennessees and the...
I'm going to that game. Oh, no, I'm going to that game. I've changed my mind. I wanted to go. I told the wife, I was like, hey, I just like new experiences. I mean, people give me a hard time with Tennessee because I like Tennessee. But I've never been to a game at Thompson Bowl, and I was like, I'm going to go to that Kansas-Tennessee game, right? But no, I'm going to that Kentucky one.
We got royalty on the line. Dr. Ted, thanks for joining us on Middays with Marcus Maben. What's going on?
Hey, this is Dr. Ted. Guys, I really love the way you exchange things. I bet on Kentucky in that game. Just to make sure.
Well, you won, like Drew said, you won twice.
The emotional hedge.
So I said, dang, okay, I can't believe this. And I said, 365 days to enjoy the game. That's a big difference. Hey, guys, I felt like I won the lottery. So that's all I can tell you. And one thing, though, the worst thing that happened to John is with Rick Pitino losing the job at Louisville. I think he thrived for the competition with Rick. And so I like to see what he does with this team. The Kentucky team has got a potential. Like you said, if we had his team, we would have the best recruiting year we ever had.
That's a fact. Thank you for calling in. Enjoy your day, Dr. Ted.
Absolutely.
No, listen, Dr. Ted raised a great point. Like, you needed Rick here more than we did.
Yeah. It's not a bad point.
That's an absolute great point. Let me get on these phone lines. Birdhead Ryan, fire away, my man.
What's up, man? So when you said we've got royalty on the line, then I was like, man, you're right. They're going to call me royalty.
Oh, man. Oh, sorry. You're close. You're close as well, man. Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it.
I'm definitely not a Dr. Ted. He travels to all the games. Mm-hmm. But I've got 3 points. 3 points. One, when Coach Mack put that video out back in August, I thought to myself, man, he is laying the gauntlet down in a situation where most of the fans don't feel comfortable, but yet he's just throwing it out there and saying, you know what, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to play them, we're going to beat them. And he held up his end of the bargain, and I think he should get a whole lot more credit than maybe he's getting it so far, because I remember that video, and I was so happy and so proud that he was our coach, but also in the back of my mind I'm going, man, are you poking the right bear? Because that bear has been eating our lunch for the last upteen years. And he's not afraid. And I'm glad that he's on our side. Second point, during one of your commercial breaks this morning, I've never done this, but I decided I'm going to go taste some tears and listen to another station for a minute while you guys were on commercial. Mm. And I heard one caller, and he complained about the Olivier Saar shot and said, due to the laws of physics, that ball should have gone in. And he's trying to explain physics and how it works. And in his mind, he believes they won the game. So in his mind, they're 2-5, not 1-6. And I thought, is that the delusional fan base that they have? Is that they believe that shot went in, so they're just going to go ahead and count it as a win? That's how they're thinking about it over there. And the third one I have, and I will jump off, because I was at the game, and it was a weird atmosphere not to have the fan. It was definitely a weird atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But after the game,
I was extremely frustrated that I couldn't hear Steve Rummage on the post game. I had my phone up to my ear, my wife looking at me like I've got three heads going, what are you doing? I could barely hear you. But when you switched over to 680, you guys had a call, and Brian's looking for the call, and hopefully he finds it. I believe it was Luther, who was so mad at you.
Paul, I got it.
I won't say anything else. I'll let him play it. It was the best call of the day, and your reaction, the way you interacted with that caller, made my day. And I will jump off, guys. Take care and go cards.
Appreciate. Wait a minute, Brian.
I think he's talking about the Luther call. But Paul was too. Yeah, but Luther's the one he's talking about.
But here's the thing: before you play that,
yeah,
I was mad at people like Birdhead Ryan back then.
Okay,
are you poking the right bear?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's the only bear you got to poke.
Yeah, but I get it.
No.
I don't think that way, but I can't tell you to think that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, like, and that's why I was mad. It's like, no, because I want you to think like me on this one. The way I do the radio show is I want to give everybody my perspective. You know what I'm saying? I want to say, y'all have this in you too. You just got to tap into it.
No, I agree. Like I said, I mean, I totally agree.
But I knew what he was saying, but I'm like, don't even say that though. Like, you need a coach. Dr. Ted said the motivation of John Calipari. You remember I used to tell you he was hunting Rick his entire career? Calipari.
Yeah.
Going like UMass, like
yeah, man.
Northeastern, just doing the, you know what I'm saying? Just, you were chasing him. You chase like you. Rick does the Knicks or Rick does Boston, and you do, you know, the Nets. And you know what I'm saying? You just seemed like you the way you dress, your style, it seemed like you were just you were following the Rick Pitino blueprint your whole career.
Yeah.
Then you didn't have that all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you don't have the apple.
Well, and Coach Mack does things so 180 from how Coach Pitino.
Right.
I mean, he's a totally different guy. Like, Coach Pitino wouldn't be caught dead at a Wings place. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, Coach,
for starters,
Coach Pitino was.
What would he do if you TP'd his house?
He'd kill you. I mean, he told his players that sometimes when they come off the court. I absolutely think he would do it. Like, he don't play fun and games like that. Like, mm-hmm. That's just but he's earned that.
Yeah.
And he's earned that respect over the years. And he's 25 years older than Mac. Like, yep. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, he's a different breed now.
Yep.
So it's like when he.
Yeah, he didn't have to oblige to social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, but Coach Mack is just, it's a different game, man.
I know he couldn't believe.
Yeah.
I know he couldn't believe when he saw that video.
Yeah.
I know Cal was like, I got to kill you.
I know.
Like,
I'm still looking for the Luther, but you want to listen to the Paul one?
Sure. I mean, let's
do that.
I love them. They all made me feel good.
Rummage.
Yes, Paul.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Paul.
On your phenomenal win. Your group of bums.
Thank you, Paul.
Beat our bums. So I'd be proud of it.
Well, I am very proud, Paul. We're 6-1.
Well, and outside of that, you know what it took to beat us?
Tell me, Paul.
A team that you know, got it stripped away, which was our worst team, the Cal era. And before that, we had a drunk coach.
Well, thanks, Paul. I appreciate Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean,
he hurt you so
Paul's
bad.
Paul's feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
they were trying, man. They were trying.
JT, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Fellas. Listen, guys, I called in last week, man, and one person that I haven't heard call in this week is Don. Cynical Don, sad Don, that called in last week saying, you know, he couldn't talk trash. He doesn't want to talk trash because they beat us so many years in a row and this and that. And I basically called in and said, you know, scratch that guy because he's a fool. Paul is a fool of a Kentucky fan. Rummage, I love that, Rummage, when you're like, tell me, Paul. tell me what you got to say, Paul. I understand. I just wanted to say a couple things, guys. I love this team so much, man. I think as Rummage called him, Q Slaz.
Yep.
You know, I think the boy is a bulldog, man, and nobody really wants. I mean, it's just every game I'm looking at him, he's just got more personality every time he steps on the floor, and I love it.
I did want to say this, though. A really good friend of mine says that he is super close to playing again and is ready to get back out on the floor, super, super excited, talking about making a big-time instant impact when he comes back. We talk on the phone every single day. You guys might have an idea who I'm talking about.
I like it.
But we're looking at him coming back real, real soon. And once that happens, I mean, things I think are just going to continue to fall in place, man. I just couldn't be more happier as a Louisville fan right now. I did want to say that, Steve, man, you gotta lighten up on our boy Jalen just a little bit now, I think, right?
Yeah, JT. I'm gonna have that conversation. I'm gonna have that conversation. What
all
do we got?
So now I have found the Luther call.
Oh, he was really hurting, dude.
Yo. Listen, Floyd Street, you're still bums. This dude you got on here right now, gloating. I don't care if you're being half-hearted or what you're doing. You're still a bum. Dude.
I'm not being half-hearted. I mean everything I'm saying. It's
well,
awesome.
Good, you should, God. Yeah. I mean everything I'm saying. Suck. You guys will continue to suck. I don't care what you do in your lifetime. You will never, bruh, see a winning record against Kentucky. No. Never. So put that in your little pipe that you get.
Okay, from, Luther.
What'd you say, Luther?
I said, okay, Luther.
Dude, see, look at him. That's all you guys Steven. Have. You guys suck.
You're a bum, Steve.
Good one, Luther.
All right,
you
Luther.
Feel better, Luther.
Thanks for the call,
you
Luther.
Feel better, Luther.
He was hurting so bad.
And I'm like, listen, let it happen.
I know. That's what I was like.
Other than Cody talking about slow starts next year, we let 99% of the callers go because it's like, no, get it
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no, that's why I said. I was like, I'm not about to. Because James, whatever, at the end of the day, James is nice case. You know, I'll shut him down. I'm like, no, dude, look. I'm like, no, I'm enjoying this, man. I'm like, I want to hear.
I love the game.
I'm not about to be like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to win this and that. No, I'm like, just, oh, no, just no, let listen. It all. I want to hear everything that boils out
it
of you.
It feels so good to soak up you. Listen, over the years, and it's like, I love how, like, I can let you talk and think, my coach is an overtime game away from being 2-1 against
you. I know.
And if you got your 12-year run, and every time you bring that up, I smile even harder because I know you don't have the coaches anymore. You don't have the Dick Vitale, the ESPN, the monopolies. All those monopolies are done. Yeah. So when you refer to 12 years and record of, I'm like, you sound like an old man. You sound weak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You sound like you're not ready for the future.
No, I know.
And we are.
Oh, yeah.
So that feels, it literally feels good when people go through but a record over 10 years is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's over, Playboy.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Let's take our last commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
Pay off your holiday bills with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and earn $14.50 per hour to start, plus a $200 sign-on bonus and up to $1,200 in additional bonuses over the holiday season. Be a part of an industry-leading organization that believes in promoting from within. Enjoy an active job with big-time growth opportunities. Become a warehouse worker at UPS. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/worldport. That's upsjobs.com/worldport.
Katie George here for Coil Automotive in Clarksville. Coil's Black Friday sales event is going on now. Save thousands on over 400 new Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs in stock and in one convenient location. Plus, on Friday, November 27th, you will have the chance to buy a 2015 Chevy Impala for $5. Yes, $5. Head over to coildeals.com for all the details and find your next car, truck, or SUV today. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckian is buying.
Come on!
Must register for a chance to purchase Impala.
Just the other night, at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my own high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, DFH Company is the company for you. Simply dial 968. If temperature control is the most valuable resource you have, then DFH is the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Inquire about that Mitsubishi mini split for that hard to heat, hard to cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com.
Appreciate that, Brian. That's my my song to
you referenced it earlier
for Carly
in the show,
and Devin. Yeah. Also, while the holiday season may be winding down, the sports calendar is in full swing this week. From collegiate to professional sports, there's no shortage of action, and there's no better place to get in on all that action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? To celebrate this year's college football playoffs, DraftKings is giving new users a chance to bet on any semifinal team to win the championship at 100-1 odds. I would pick Clemson or Alabama. That should be very easy. Or bet on both. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 in any semifinal game to win the championship, and you can win cash $100. While we're excited for football, let's not forget the 2021 basketball season just kicked off. So head to the app now to check out all that. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, making it easy for you to deposit or withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code WLCL when you sign up to get 100-1 odds on any semifinal team to win it all. That's code WLCL for new players to get a shot at $100 at any semifinal this week. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Indiana only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9 with it.
We got one short segment that we got to do, so I'm going to be a little quick on these phone calls, and that's why my DFH was so quick. But Nurse Amy, thanks for holding on during the break. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marcus. It's Nurse Amy. I just wanted to send a shout-out to these young Cardinals. They are fun to watch, make your heart rate race, make your blood pressure go up. But it's nice when you have your 12-year-old son that can now talk smack to his 12-year-old UK fans, and they can't really say much back. And your patients, all my patients today, shout out to the UK ones because they haven't said a word today. They've been awful quiet today. So I just have to say, go card.
Nurse Amy, I appreciate the call.
I love it.
She just had to get that one in
there.
I love
it. Like, yeah. Could you imagine? Look, Nurse Amy's walking up in these rooms like, hey, if one of y'all silly patients decide you're going to run your mouth today. She's like, let's play. That was a great call.
Right.
Being a nurse's husband, that was a great call.
You can feel the emotion in that one.
I absolutely love that.
Darren, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Marcus Maben, Steve Rummage. It's been a long time, my friend. How you guys doing?
Good, good, man. How's it going?
Doing great. I'm talking to Brian there. He'll share some information with you, but I'll be quick, I promise. But two things. Love how Dre Davis just pretty much pumped DJ Boston in that game. I don't think too many people saw that play, but he just basically said, you ain't coming in here.
Right.
You know, love that.
Oh, absolutely.
Second thing, Luther, I couldn't get in Saturday. I was actually going to call, but that Luther was cracking me up. Y'all had 274 McDonald's All-Americans since Calipari's been there, and we stuck, and y'all got one title. We got just as many as you got in the last 22 years, Luther. So go smoke that red cigarette.
Darren, I appreciate the call.
Appreciate it, man.
I'm moving right along. Chris, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What's up, Steve, Marcus?
What's going on, man?
Good.
Steve, our Cowboys are still alive. Our Cardinals won. We got a draft pick. How does life get any better? Had a great Christmas. Now, here's my biggest problem. Everybody keeps talking about Kentucky, Kentucky, Kentucky. Let's talk about Coach Mack piecing together a team that he doesn't even have two starters back yet. He's out there playing with 6'5", 6'6", guys, and he just flat out Coach Cal. Let's talk about that more. Quit talking about all their first-rank recruits. We out-coached him with a patchwork offense. We got a guy, Nickelberry, who came in, who hasn't played all year, hit a gigantic three. Quinn finally hit his first three. Let's talk about our guys. Forget their guys.
Listen, Chris, I got to move along fast to get this last segment in. I do appreciate the call. I do think Coach Mack deserves more credit. I do understand exactly what you're saying about coaching our guys. I don't know if we get to that last segment, but we'll see. Sean behind enemy lines, thanks for joining us on 93.9.
Mack and Steve, what a glorious day in Lexington today. let me tell you something. The devil was laying when Chris Mack made that video. He called Cal out. He called UK out on their shenanigans. And you know what? His team wasn't going to let him lose. So that's how I think Chris Mack deserved a lot of credit. He embraced this rivalry and not shied away to it. I'm out.
No, listen, I agree. It, man. Listen, no better way. Listen, he brought the smoke early and backed it up, and everybody that told you to be quiet until he backs it up, this is what it feels like. Brian Hall, go ahead and play that. Go ahead and play that, dude. On the way out the door, y'all, I want y'all to hear these things. And listen for the bell. The bell is every time I almost spit my drink out. This is the shot bell. Okay? Fire away, Brian.
Let me just say this again. Losing stinks. We had our chance, and we had some breakdowns. You know, when you're this kind of team, you can't afford to have a mental lapse on two or three plays in a row and still go. But I'm proud of the guys. We had our chances. We still missed some layups, some free throws, but we fought. They were engaged. Jacob was terrific. Lance was terrific. Isaiah showed some spurts. BJ finally started getting something going. Davion, Devin, Terrence is still hurt. Tried to see if he could steal some minutes with him, but it was a mistake. He's playing at 80% maybe. And it was the same injury Ashton had. This is the same thing. And Ashton played with it, but it's hard because it's painful.
Brian, stop.
And, you know, you got to get treatment. And
did you just say? Well, he has the same injury that Ashton Hagans played, or Ashton Hagans played through it. That's terrible.
I know.
You well, he's like 80%, and the fans are listening like, 80%, you got to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, but Ashton Hagans had the same injury, but yeah, he played through it. So.
Oh, I know.
Keep going, Brian.
You know, you got to get treatment, and either you're going to have to play through pain. I mean, it's just how it is. And so, but, you know, a lot. Less turnovers. We charged them. We've been working on jump stops for 3 weeks, and we go and leave our feet in the lane a couple times. And
you set up the referees with the charging play.
Had our chance to win. I mean, that ball went in and out. And I told him it's like buzzard luck for my man. And I knew. I went to Olivier anyway because I have a lot of faith in him. Even though he missed that shot against Notre Dame. I don't know if you remember, we went through this with Brandon Knight, where we missed all kind of game winners where we went at him, and that's because I had a lot of faith in him. And eventually, by the end of the year, he made all those. So this is one of those kind of experiences for the team. The struggle with this,
Brandon
they're
Knight
trying, we're getting better, we're doing some good stuff, but losing stinks, just stinks. And we gotta right the ship at some point, and then we got to start rolling over. Like roll over people, but right now we just got to try to steal one, win one, dominate somebody, and then start moving on.
Go ahead, Keith.
Here it comes.
The runner-up for Mr. Basketball was one of the stars for Louisville today.
We lost you, Keith. We lost you.
I bet you did.
Am I back?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. As I was saying,
who am I talking to? Who is this?
Keith from Falmouth Outlook. Go ahead, Keith.
I was just wondering, you've said that Dante Allen has to be ready for his opportunity.
And he when had you're to change the question.
They told him in his ear, hey, you got to change the question.
All right,
bro.
So
score drought.
And cut him off.
Here's what I would tell you. I told Dante today, be ready for your chance. If I don't think he can go, then I'm going with you. And it's going to be your opportunity.
Dante Allen.
There were
Louisville.
Two times I thought about putting him in. Once in the first half, which I wish I would have, because I wouldn't have been able to play him in the second half. If I don't play a guy in the first half and it goes on, that's But he's going to have a chance. Just wasn't tonight. And I coached the game to win. That's all I did. And you know what was great about tonight? I could just coach. I didn't have to hear anything.
Yeah.
No There was no back and forth. Everybody, listen, I was able to coach basketball. Did you notice I didn't have frustration? Did you notice how here much I was having fun? Hey! Like, I don't have to worry about something. The guy, why'd you take me out? Like, that stuff is over, done. And guys listening to when we start coaching, there's not an answer before we even say anything. All that's done. Now we have a chance to take this next step. And some of the players, again, we got to take stock in why do we continue to beat ourselves with breakdowns? So why did you do this? Where was your mind?
Why you?
I believe a lot of it is, how am I playing? And if I'm not playing well, I can't concentrate. And that means we still aren't there to where we're the team we need to be. But we're getting closer.
Jerry Tipton, go ahead.
John, this was a second straight game that Olivier did not have a field goal.
I know.
What do you see there? It's just surprising.
Well, first of all, we went into the game like as many times as we can throw him the ball, we're going to. That was the whole our game plan. They did a good job of fighting, fronting, and doing some things. And he missed some shots. He missed a couple easy ones. I mean, when you start missing shots, it starts playing with your confidence.
He's 23.
It's not like we're not trying to go to him. We are. And he'll be fine, but this has been hard.
Will he?
I mean, you know, missing a couple shots, I'm going to have to get on him or get with him before he gets on the bus to just say, I love you, man. You're fine. Just this wasn't just him. Jacob played so well, so I went with Jacob and Lance because they were playing better.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's what you do when you're coaching. And you may say, well, what about this guy? What about that guy? Well, probably entered my mind. But I look at it and say, you know what,
Jacob better player in there.
And Lance in the first half played so well. Let him go. Let him play.
Well, we appreciate that.
John Hale will come to you next.
Oh, it seems like right now your role players, guys like Jacob and Lance, Davion, are all playing really well. But your stars are the guys we thought were your stars are not. How do you win games?
Say that second statement you said again.
The guys we thought were your stars.
There you go. That's the statement.
You are throwing them all under the bus.
And here's what I would say.
Yeah.
Probably they also felt that way too.
You recruited them.
Now,
bro,
all of a sudden you get punched in the mouth and you start tasting blood.
So you thought they were stars.
How do you react? Do you blame? It's fight or?
Fight.
Fight. Do you? Look, here's where I am. I can't make a shot. So here's what I'm going to do to help this team win. I'm getting fouled. I'm going to do this. And so, yeah, you're right. Davion has been one of the, one of the guys I've been really proud of. And again, he never said one word early in this year, kind of like Emmanuel Quickley, never said a word, just took his role. Tell me what you want. He is so appreciative of this opportunity to be here, playing for us and our staff.
Oh, it's different, huh?
And so he's in a different mindset, which is why you start playing the way you're playing.
Yes, Cal.
Biggest thing for me, I don't play favorites. You guys know me here. If you're going to help us win, I'm going to play you.
The Twins
would
like
a word. If someone else is better than you, they get the first opportunity.
Twins on line one, Cal.
If they're not playing well, and you get an opportunity, and you don't play well. The top seven, they get more room to miss shots, make mistakes. It's just how it is.
You mean like favorites?
Since the game was invented. That's been what it is. You're one of those top 5-6, you get more room.
You mean favorites?
You're 8-9-10, you're going to get chances, but not as much space as those others because they've earned it in practice. They've earned it on the court, and that's what we do. But, again, stuff changes. Notice we changed the lineup. I like it. I like Devin. How much better has Devin gotten? It's incredible. And, again,
what was he doing at the beginning of the year?
That became critical, but – you know, he's just so much better as a player right now. Plays hard, plays physical. Davion's diving on the floor, going for balls. Jacob, there are no more victories. We lost. And hats off to Louisville. They played well. But we got to look, okay, our margin is not high. I mean, we're going to be in a bunch of close games. We're not beating people by 30. So now it becomes,
you're not beating
how do we play to help us win?
You're not winning any games.
As a team. Not you. Not you. How does this team play to help us win? And how do we limit some of the breakdowns? And many of it was defensively. Oh, I was like wanting to, you know. But you could see today, I said again, I told the team after, you notice I wasn't frustrated today. I just coached basketball. Wasn't mad. It wasn't nothing. I was happy. And I had fun coaching. This is what
he's happy and be
I want to be as a coach. Teach all week in practice, get in the games and have a ball seeing these guys grow together. And I come back to the last thing for all of you guys. We have a chance to paint our own picture. We do. And what do we want to do? Where's the leadership on this team right now with a loss like that, that we had our chances to win, just like Notre Dame, just like North Carolina, just like Kansas? I mean, we've had our chances and we've dropped them all. Now, I thought we were better at the end of the game because we put a major focus on how we were going to play down the stretch now. And we scripted it. And we did it over. And we did it live. And we scripted it. How we were going to play late. When you're struggling, there's
right.
got to be great clarity. There can't be any second. They're not there yet. So there's got to be clarity where they can go out. What are you asking me to do? We've done it. Yes, I got it. Let's go do it. And that's what we're trying to do. But again, we've had to spend so much time creating new habits and a mentality and get them to understand our culture and get to know what's acceptable, what's non-negotiable. This is what this is to be a Kentucky. And now, you know, everybody's going to say it's over. Okay. I don't believe it's over. We haven't played a league game yet. So I don't believe it's over. And let's go do what we do. Let's keep coaching them. Our true fans, the fans that are really with these kids, keep cheering them on. You think they want to play like they're playing and losing games like this? You're crazy. They want to win every game, and they want to win it for you. But I would tell you, I'm not budging. I'm not cracking. I'm hacked off now. And I'm
– What?
You know, I'm not happy that we're losing. You guys know me well enough. But I got to worry about this team and where they are and where can I take them more than my ego about winning a game. If we'd have won this game, I'd have been so happy for them because it kind of takes the monkey off the back. Now, all of a sudden, here we go. But you know what? Wasn't meant to be. So let's hope it's the next game.
Okay, we'll have time for two more questions. Kyle Tucker first for you and fallen. Then Daryl Bird.
Kyle, Davion was the one guy kind of had it going offensively, hit four threes, had 19 points. The last 50 seconds, you guys have three chances to tie or take the lead. Ask you three-pointer at the late in the clock, the Sar jumper, which was obviously a good shot for you guys, and the Boston three at the end. How does Davion not get a shot in that final minute?
Well, what we ended up doing is we've got something that we ran, and we got the ball right where we wanted to and got fouled, and that's in with a minute and whatever. And then the last play was for him or Olivier. So we were going at one of those two. And what happened was he came off and they both guys went with him, which is why he threw it to Olivier. Look, when you talk about you're playing against another team that knows how this kid's playing, what do you think he said in that huddle? If they try to get him a shot, take him out. So that guy that you're going to has to be willing to make a play for a teammate. And he did. So, you know, would I have liked him to shoot it? Yeah. Yeah. But that's not what Louisville did.
Okay, Daryl Bird, okay. Finish us off.
Yeah, John, with what's ailing you guys, do you think you need more practice or do you need more games, actual games?
Games. Games.
And in a season
games.
Of COVID,
games.
And games. Well, there's two things, Daryl. We need more time for all the team building stuff that we do here all the time. Because everybody says, how do you always get teams that are brand new to come together, start slow, and go? We team build in the summer. We
start
team build
slow.
In the fall. So that we're trying to make up time right now, and I think we have. Not where we need to be, but we're making up time. The second thing is you got to play games you can win to build confidence. You got to play games you can win to build confidence.
Georgia Tech.
And this was the stupidest schedule I've ever put together. And I'd like to smack myself in the mouth. And I know now that, oh, you know what? Listen, we should have played games up front that we had a chance to win. Four or five of them and then played four or five of the others. not eight hard games. We still got Texas left, who's like 10th in the country. Think about it. Now, am I doing that to me or these kids? It was to these kids. It was just dumb. But we're in with all these teams. We're good enough to beat them. We haven't figured out how to finish off a game yet. That's on me. I'll keep working with them. And just like Kyle said, maybe it's, why don't you run something so absolutely he's got to get a three or a shot. So maybe we'll look at that as an opportunity and go from there.
That was painful.
I had to get that out.
Oh, God.
I had to get that out there. I wanted the listeners to know what you're facing moving forward.
Yeah.
I want all the fans, both Louisville and Kentucky, to know who's going to be there for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
Making those same press conferences.
That's the guy.
That's your guy.
That's the guy.
I am going to own him.
Yeah.
Coach Mac is saying, I am going to own him.
It's definitely the dawn of a new era, without a doubt.
This is going to be so much fun, Steve.
I know. It's just beginning to.
This radio station is going to dominate the next year of our lives. Yeah. It's going to be the best place to be.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
On the planet. Advertisers, get in now.
Yeah.
Call us, because this is going to be awesome.
Fair enough.
Anything else you want to throw in, Steve?
No, I'm happy. I feel good.
I need a cigarette.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and rest and get back in here tomorrow.
I need a cigarette. Brian, you got a cigarette on you?
Sorry, I can't say I do, but I'll go get you one.
Call Bill. Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.